WWE.com.
Any doubt about the power of the Chinese and their economy? They should surpass us by 2020, if not before then. Woohoo! Sadly, nothing really gets accomplished at the tail end of the trip to the G20 for the President of the United States after 10 days on the road. The White House and the Republicans now tackle politics at home, looking for that so-called middle ground on taxes. And we're talking about the Bush tax cuts that are set to expire. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney is my name. This show, America Tonight, as we bounce from coast to coast and from place to place, you're always invited to throw in your two cents, but you know that. So we are going to jump right into the fire, if you will, at the top and talk. We're going to talk about what's going on close to home. But before we do that, nothing more irritating to me than when I read the Washington Post today and the comments of Hamid Karzai, the Afghan president, who says the United States has to cut it out. We got to reduce the visibility and our intensity with our military operations. Wait a second. Wasn't that the idea? Win the hearts and the minds of the people? Especially, he says, night raids, because it just fuels the fire of we hate Americans. That anti-American sentiment that won't go away. It's emboldening the Taliban insurgents, he says. So I go through and I start to read this, and I'm fuming right really from the top, but I start to read it and I'm pretty much looking at this thing and saying, you gotta be kidding me. So now Karzai is saying after 9 years plus, hey, the time's come, reduce those military ops. And really what he's saying is I'm cutting a deal with the Taliban. I didn't really say it that way exactly, except for that, oh, I'm meeting with one or two high-level Taliban leaders. I met with them a couple of months ago. And we're talking about a peace process. We're in the initial stages of that. And we're exchanging the desires for peace. I mean, give me a break. He's even gone so far to say that the Taliban leader, Omar, knows about the discussions and that the feeling of the Taliban is it's taken a toll on the Afghan people to have this war going on. Really? I thought the idea was to win over the people and boot the Taliban. Wasn't that the idea? And the general who is the commander, our commander of the NATO forces in the U.S., David Petraeus, is saying, listen, we've made huge progress. We are beating down the doors of this thing. We are beating back the insurgents. We're beating it back. So you've had 300, this is what the problem is. In the past 3 months, you've had about 300 leaders that have been captured or killed. And then there's even more of the lower level types, remember the drones, that have militants that have been killed. And then others have been captured. So the key thing is here is it's a deal. He's cutting a deal with the Taliban is what he's doing. And he goes on to say that the rising number of special ops at night aggravate Afghans and it could strengthen the insurgency. Give me a break. And it just kills me because I think of lives lost, lives put on hold, lives destroyed, people coming back without limbs for this, for Karzai to kick sand, continue to kick sand in the face of the U.S. soldiers that are there, because that's what's happening. And he brought it around to say the number of civilians killed or injured has gone up so much in the first 6 months of the year that, sure, you got the Taliban bombings and the assassinations are responsible for most of that rise. But what about the few that we can tie to the U.S. or the NATO forces? So the president, we know, set July of next year as the time to start drawing down U.S. troops. But if Karzai is saying he wants the security forces to be able to take the lead and protect the nation by 2014, so what's the in-between years there? No night ops. We want you to not have the big presence you have and do what? Hang on the base? It's ridiculous. So much so that Lindsey Graham, who's traveled over there several times, has decided that, of course, I'm going to throw in my two on this. He talked about cutting the night raids and then, no night raids?
There was no discussion about a difference between Petraeus and Karzai in terms of strategy. And I would just add this. If we cannot use night raids with our Afghan partners, then that's a big loss in terms of gaining security. The security gains are obvious. We're not there yet, but we're moving in the right direction. And to take the night raids off the table would be a disaster.
And I agree. Of course it would be a disaster because that's where they have the success. It's too hard. Think of during the day. And imagine, if you will, close your eyes for a second and try to put yourself in these shoes of these soldiers and what they're doing day after day. I mean, the ones that are right there in the villages on the, I'll call it the front lines because it is the front lines, trying to win over the trust of villagers and having to look out of the corner of their eye as they're going into the village knowing half the time that snipers' rifles are right on them, and they're not firing at them, and they're going in and out of certain areas that are really, really uncharted territory and are crawling with the Taliban. What, for goodness sake, do you want these soldiers to do? First, the crazy rules of engagement that have them pretty much hogtied. Then, no night raids? I agree with Senator Graham. I mean, forget about it. You can't do that. What in the world are we doing? What in the world are we doing to these people who are so brave and so selfless in their service? What are we doing when Karzai is constantly coming out with these statements? But this is the worst of the worst that I've heard. I was stunned when I read that story. In fact, I reread it a couple times because I thought, wow, he cannot be saying this to the Post. I must be misinterpreting this somewhere. Is there reading between the lines? Okay, we know about the drawdown. He's setting up to continue the relationship with the Taliban. I mean, you know, give me a break here. So how much and what cost for all the troops? We don't have an answer to this question, do we? But I think if you keep having the president who's saying things like, we don't need the night raids, we don't need anti-American sentiment. Well, yeah, we don't need anti-American sentiment. But pretty much he's meeting with the Taliban, and then they have their list of demands, and then he says, oh, yeah, 3 months ago I was meeting with some Taliban leaders, and here's pretty much what they were saying. You're getting a little too close because you're killing a bunch of their guys, and they're capturing some of their foot soldiers, and you know they don't like this because you're getting too much into the nest, and this isn't good. So we need you to not have as much success. If you could just not have as much success, because of course at night is when they're having the success, not during the day, like I said, when the roadside bombs are getting the best of them. I don't know. I don't think I'm all wet on this one. I think you got to re-examine the whole reasons for being there if Karzai's going to say that kind of stuff. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to fill you in on some of the blanks from over the weekend, including the fun stuff. Hang with us.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
This is the day you and Metropolis shall not soon forget.
It's pronounced
Metro City.
Oh, potato, tomato, potato, tomato.
That was a little clip from Mega Mind. You might have gone to see it over the weekend. Maybe you didn't. If you have grandkids, kids, whatever. Maybe you dislike animated films. Megamind grossed $30 million at the box office. This is the second week for that. I think I mentioned this before. Animation is up, up, up. And the film altogether is at $130 million. Wow, $130 million. That's pretty big. So it definitely was better than Unstoppable. Unstoppable came in second. And they made that film about the runaway train, and we do our cheap movie reviews heading into the weekend, for $85 million. And it came in second, although that it took second pretty, they'll probably make up that money. It came in at 23 and change. And the Unstoppable film is Denzel Washington, and the director of that film is Tony Scott. And this is the fifth project that they've done together, and they scored once again Unstoppable. The premise of Runaway Train, I think of when I lived in Kearney, Nebraska, and how they always had warnings out about people in trains because they would play chicken. Sometimes kids would play chicken with the train, and you'd hear, or you'd be out there covering, because I was doing TV news then, sadly, some wild accident because they were drinking or thought they were going to be able to make it, and they didn't get over the tracks. And I just never could grasp that concept of what a thrill that was to try to beat the train and not get clobbered by the train. Because, you know, I think train, an engine coming at you, car, I don't get the adrenaline rush out of that. I get the adrenaline rush with bungee jumping and parachuting, you know, skydiving and other thrill-seeking things, but not the chicken with the train thing. Just doesn't make any sense to me. So Megamind, anyway, was huge at the box office. If you weren't doing that, maybe instead you were watching some of the football games, both in college football and, of course, Week 10 in the NFL. A quick reminder, programming note, we're doing the show from Mississippi, Gulfport, and Biloxi to talk about, you know, find out what happened recently after the oil spill and Hurricane Katrina and how they're bouncing back the economy there with the fishing and shrimping and stuff and the restaurants and the hotels and what about the beaches. We're going to talk to the governor, Haley Barbour, and a few other people down there. Should be interesting stuff. But we're moving Nail the Score to Wednesday night. So not Thursday night, but Wednesday night in our third hour. Spread the word, all you factory folks out there in Georgetown, Kentucky, and listening to us in other places too, Rick in Illinois, and all of you who bombard the phone lines. And, of course, fill up the email too. It's Wednesday night, and then the following Wednesday we'll be doing it then because, of course, Thanksgiving is on Thursday, and none of you are going to take your faces out of the mashed potatoes and the turkey to try to nail the score. I just have a feeling about that. Quickly, a couple of other things here worth mentioning. I can't imagine what it would be like to be gone, missing, for 388 days. But that's the story, which you can only imagine is going to be a book or a movie or something. That's the story of this retired British couple. They decided they saved their pennies. They weren't filthy rich, but they saved their money. And they were sailing the world on a 38-foot yacht. That was their life savings when pirates captured them, demanding a huge ransom. But they're not multimillionaires, and they weren't some big company, which is what they do with the big ships. So Paul and Rachel Chandler couldn't pay that money. And that stretched out that agonizing ordeal of being kidnapped for 388 days until they were released. They're like bone thin, exhausted, but were grinning ear to ear. It absolutely was the most dramatic hostage situation since the piracy nonsense started a couple of years ago. The Somali community, I guess, close to where they were nice to these people. But how awful to be held that long. And somebody arranged for the ransom. And originally, they paid like $750,000. Somebody got that money together. But they initially were looking for $7 million. Wow. $7 million. How crazy. But see, still, they're able to eke out something from people who don't even have that kind of money, where they had to raise that kind of money to let them be free. And what happened was somebody tried to free them by dropping money from a plane. But there were different groups of people they were negotiating with. Can you imagine? Let the Chandlers go, and then just throwing money down on the ground, just packaging it up and just dropping it like some kind of crazy food drop. Wow. But the 388 days, that's the thing that is just so staggering to me. Whew. So we move from that to the words we use. I was talking about the fact that we're going to be in Mississippi and reliving the oil spill with so many of the people there and how they've bounced back. One of the words that was coined from that spill was spill cam, the camera that was trained on the oil that was flowing out. Remember, it ran forever and a day, and you could see it. That was one of the top words of 2010 at the impact of that months-long oil spill can't be denied, certainly. Vuvuzela was another one that was big, and that was because of the World Cup soccer and the noisy horns that people were complaining about. There are other words that have been phrases that we've heard over and over again in this past year. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because there was an interesting story about this. The top phrases of 2010, like man up was a big one. The Great Recession was another one. Jersey Shore, because of the Guidos and others that were part of that Italian-American show that made the list. And this list was compiled by a survey that was done, I guess, a Texas survey. They used a math formula to track the frequency of the words and phrases of more than 158 billion people, and that's how they came up with it. It's an annual global language monitor survey, and those were some of the main words we heard. Chilean coal miners, that came up a lot, because remember how long they were trapped? That was a big one. Then there was anger and rage, because we're talking about politics, whether it was the United States or it was Greece and the crazy situation there, or in France, or, you know, pick a poison, and anger and rage would probably be filled in a few places. Obama mania, they said, was one of the big phrases of the past 2 years. That was 10th place. That's where they ranked that. Whew. Crazy. What do you think the top word, Matt, was from 2010? I like chillax, but I don't think
that's old.
But I heard it a lot this year.
That's because it finally made its way to you.
That's right. I'm in the bowels of some place where we don't get those kind of words. I don't know. I thought Vuvuzela was big.
Yeah, that was big. Conan was big.
Oh, Coco.
Yep, Coco. Mm-hmm. Tea Party.
Tea Party. Oh, yeah, Tea Party had to be ranked way up there, I would assume. Yeah, probably Twitter. You know, people would talk about tweeting and Twitter and Facebook. Even though Facebook has been around, I think Facebook was talked about a lot this year, and then, of course, with the movie. So I'm sure that probably made the list, too. And how they determined it, as I said, it was mathematically how many times it was the frequency of it, how many times it came up in English speaking. So Sarah Palin was also another one. Wow. And, yeah, the last 2 years have her name has come up a lot. It's funny, too, because that's on the heels of not winning the election, but it shows you how she really got her 15 minutes plus. Even now, how often do you see Sarah Palin's name in the media? How often is she brought up? Every single day, thousands and thousands of times, I'm sure. Hang through, interesting stuff on the flip side, right here, Locked and Loaded on ATN.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Alex told you the government announced recently that the recession is over. It ended on June of 2009. The millions of Americans unable to find work might not agree. Perhaps the recession ended for the bankers and government employees, but for the rest of us, things seem to be getting worse. Gold and silver haven't heard the news either. They've begun their long-expected journey to the moon. In addition to converting your shrinking dollars into gold and silver, you should consider a food savings account from eFoods Direct. They both make fabulous investments. Food is our greatest dependency, and we know it will be more precious than any financial resource. You and your family need food to survive a crisis, and you can't eat paper, stocks, or metals. Alex has been urging you to invest in delicious, easy-fix meals to enjoy now or save for long-term. This will freeze the cost of your food while you can still afford it. Visit eFoodsDirect.com on the Internet or call 800-409-5633. That's eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees. And every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
Tonight, in just a few minutes, we're going to dip into the mail bag. And I'm always hounding you to send me your thoughts, your recipes, vent your spleen, all that kind of stuff. AmericaTonight.net. Like Dennis McMahon says, Obama was really at sea at the Pacific Summit. The president of a Pacific power for over a century should have carried Teddy Roosevelt's big stick and not a hat in hand. And that's what it was like. It was a money grab. It turned into a jobs deal. And I said at the top of the show, the president was 2 for 4, which he struck out in South Korea and really in Japan, especially with South Korea. There was nothing in place, and then the South Koreans weren't coming up with any quick deal to try to have some kind of business exchange. Oh, sure, we'll import some of your stuff and let Americans export their stuff. Uh-uh. They definitely ate it up in India and Indonesia, but they did not when it came to the tail end of that trip. And, of course, then China, almost everybody backed China on their currency manipulations and didn't jump in with the United States and agreeing that Hu Jintao was maneuvering the markets, maneuvering the money of the Chinese, and they weren't having any of it. In other words, they threw in, it was like we were at the poker table, and they threw in with the Chinese, not the U.S. So it was a tough trip, I think, for the president. That's why 2 for 4. A little bit of success in the beginning, but not at the tail end of it. And touche, Dennis, you summed it up even better than I did. We'll check in the mail in just a second, like I said, but first let's go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, Kate. You know, Rick Perry, a Republican, is governor of Texas. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to take a shot at the White House?
If he does, he's a fool, because I don't think he'll win. I think he has no chance of winning.
I was kind of impressed with him. I thought, they don't like him in Texas?
It's half and half. He's kind of a carryover of Bush. He's kind of floating on the Bush coattails from the successful years that Bush had as governor. But no, it's a mixed bag with Perry, because there are a lot of things that, it's typical of politics, there are a lot of things that he promises that don't happen. And so I think it's, I think it's 50-50 on him.
Okay, well, never mind.
But anyways, never mind.
it's just another one of my harebrained ideas. You know, I can give you an example of how American democracy is superior to British monarchy. The son of Prince Charles, you know, Mr. Elephant Ears? You know, the guy who looks like Dumbo? Prince Charles, he's the next in line to the Queen, right?
Right.
His son, Prince William, you've seen him. You know, he's kind of like the Justin Bieber of the royal family. Kind of a heartthrob.
Yeah, he looks like his mother. He got his mother's looks, yeah. Princess Diana, yeah.
I guess all teenage girls faint when they see him. But he's going to overdrive a helicopter in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Right.
But they're not going to put him in combat. Whereas the second in line to the White House is Vice President Biden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his son is over in Afghanistan now. Is he not, or going there?
He is in Afghanistan.
Okay. Now, is he going to be kept behind, protected behind?
No.
He's going into the, if he does go into war, he'll be into combat like everybody else.
I think so, but it depends on what. I'm not in his unit, so I don't know if they're going to do that, but there's no special arrangement, in other words.
Prince William, the son of the Prince Charles, the second in line to the throne, and Biden is second in line to the quote-unquote throne of America, right?
Right.
In quotation marks. So Prince William is getting special treatment because he is third in line. The son of Vice President Biden is not really third in line, but you get the analogy, right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, he's not going into combat, whereas in a democracy, we're all treated equal, right?
Right.
We're supposed to be all treated equal, whereas in England, if you're the son of the second in line to the throne, you are treated as a royal family. That's one of the reasons why Washington and Franklin wanted to get the hell out of a monarchy, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, this, and also here's, you know.
But wait a second, but here's the thing. In the United States, you don't think people with power and privilege get certain things for their kids?
Yeah, but they earned it on merit, though.
Well, they earned it on merit?
Well, you know, allegedly. I mean, a lot of them.
Okay, okay.
At least their father. Well, what the heck did the Queen do to ever earn it? Well,
I see what you're saying.
How did the Queen ever earn all her 10 palaces, Buckingham Palace and Windsor Castle, and Sandringham up in Scotland? She's got more mansions, whereas there's homeless guys living in a cardboard box on the Thames River, she's got 10 palaces and that she didn't earn. She just inherited.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit different. And here's another example how it's not one world. I heard today that in Rwanda, you know that country in the middle of Africa? Rwanda? Or, I don't know, help. This is an example. Our prime minister, have you ever heard of a guy named Jean Chrétien?
Mm-hmm.
He was prime minister of Canada for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is a joke that we have around. He was listening to the radio one night, and he heard the Beach Boys singing, Help Me Rwanda. You know that song, Help Me Rwanda?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he thought they were singing Help Rwanda. So he sent 50,000 Canadian troops into Rwanda. Anyways, that shows he's a liberal, and I hate liberals. But anyways, they're forcing every male under the age of 50 to get circumcised at gunpoint. Not a choice. You have to get circumcised. You know, would that ever fly in America?
Of course not. But, you know, Rwanda is not the only hell pit in Africa. Look what happens in Niger. Look what happens in some of the other areas across Africa. I mean, there are terrible things happening to women there, too. It's, you know, what... I don't understand the analogy you're trying to make with that. I mean, of course it wouldn't fly in America.
A lot of people are attacking American democracy. You know, we're trying to force American democracy or North America, at least Canada. Canada is closer to the United States than it is to England in a lot of ways. We're sort of halfway between. We're half American and half British up here. But everybody's, oh, no, why should we force a North American-style democracy? Well, the other way is forcing people to do things at gunpoint. The reason they're forcing these males under the age of 50 to be circumcised is to stop AIDS. They think it'll stop AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll leave you with one little, you probably heard this joke, but a friend of mine, I was talking to a guy, and he was circumcised when he was 2 days old. He was a little tiny baby, and he couldn't walk for a whole year.
You are just so brutal. Thanks. I get it. You're kind of all over the map tonight, but I think what you're trying to say is you're just saying that you don't get it, about the pounding in democracy and why people are beating up the United States. And, you know, here's the thing. It's like I say all the time. There's things you also might hate about what's happening in the United States. We don't like the challenges to our privacy. We don't like, for example, what's happening at the airport, the pat-downs, the craziness, whatever. But at least we have freedom of speech, and we can speak it, and we can talk about it. And we can be on a radio show like this one or any of the others and call up. We wouldn't be able to do that in some of those other countries naturally because that's not what it is. It's a dictatorship or communism or some other form of government that is nothing like democracy. But surely comparing atrocities in Africa to what would that happen in the United States is a big stretch, Al. So we go from Al to checking the mail. Let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Okay, I have mail. Let's see. This one's from Jack listening to us in Vermont. Kate, what do you make of David Axelrod bolting from the White House? Is he trying to distance himself from a loser? Nope. I think he is just simply trying to get Obama elected. And to do that, and because of what's happening now in the polls and the approval ratings and all that sort of thing, Axelrod probably realizes that he needs to be on the ground in the trenches working it for a year plus to see if they can get Obama reelected. If the economy is still in the toilet, if their jobless rate is high, if somebody dynamic comes along for the Republicans, you know, who knows? There's a lot of questions on the other side. But that's what Axelrod's job is going to be. It can't be from the White House. I'm sure they've decided that, and that's why he's going to go run the whole campaign from Chicago. So that's all that was really about. All right, let's see. We've got another one here from Joe. Joe says, hey, America, tonight I got a question. Did you hear about that couple that was finally let go by the Somalia pirates? I don't remember how long they said they were tied up for, if you will, but what a crazy deal. I wonder why they let them go. All right, I think I'll flesh this out a little bit more. I heard this earlier today. They were a British couple, and they were picked up. They were sailing. They were picked up in October of 2009, and the pirates got them. Got on the yacht, got to the yacht, whatever, and they've held them for ransom for that long. They were asking, and of course, they were just on a small boat, a private yacht. They were on a sailing trip. They weren't part of some big commercial deal. They weren't on one of those giant tankers, because this is the truth. What happens is the pirates have control for the most part. They kidnap people and then they ask for the ransom. The ransom for that couple was $750,000, and that's what had to be paid for their release. So they were held for that long and the pirates got the money. I guess what they're going to do is they have to be medically checked out, and then they're going to fly back to England. Can you imagine the stories that they have to tell? I'd be interested in a book on that. We Can Count next.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Pure water. What could be better than the gift of health for your loved ones? And who better to help you give the gift this holiday season than BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com? If those on your gift list are drinking or bathing in unfiltered city or well water, chances are that water is contaminated with rust, bacteria, chlorine, and fluoride. For just pennies a day, Berkey Water Filters remove dangerous contaminants from both well and city water, is powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, and is great for camping and emergencies. Right now, GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems and free shipping on orders over $50. Purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of Berkey Sport Bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or the new Sight Glass Spigot absolutely free. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Give the gift of health at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com today.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Many of you who voted in the midterm election, some of you were voting on school issues in your own backyard. And you look at urban areas, and it's sad what's happened to inner city education. I've seen this firsthand. I have some friends who are teachers, and I've talked about it. Some of you listening to me have kids who have gone through the system, and I worry about those kids and what's happening to their education. And frankly, what happens when race is brought into this, when we're talking about the learning differences between white students and black students, and what happens with money, and what happens in that money being dispersed in urban settings. And lots of you listening to me know exactly what I'm talking about because you've lived through it. So it's always fun. We had him on once before. It's probably been months and months and months ago. It's always fun to talk to Dr. Richard Gordon about that because he's not shy about offering some serious opinions on what's going on with urban schools and why we should all care because of the vandalism and the violence. And then what happens to these kids, the cycle? What happens when they don't have a good education? the breakdown in society where a lot of them become career criminals. Dr. Gordon, thanks for coming on America Tonight again. We appreciate it.
Good evening. It's always a pleasure.
Let's talk about, first of all, I'm going to re-rack here for a second for people who are hearing you for the first time. Tell us what you've found out, because you really have delved into this. You've got a book out, and you've looked at all angles of this. In fact, a really, really, really excellent book, The Emperor Has No Clothes, playing on that with a big question mark. But tell us some of the things that you found out.
Well, the first thing is that there's no doubt about the difference, okay, in educational achievement. I mean, this is a fact that everybody agrees to it, and that is that the black kids do much, much worse than the whites, and if there are Asians involved, the Asians do better than the whites, even. I mean, these are facts. So the questions really are, you know, why?
Right. And that's a good, that's where we start. Why? Why is this? Why aren't things starting to change?
Well, because most folks don't know the reason why, and they just keep making errors because of political correctness, what they assume are the reasons. And I'm one of the voices crying out in the wilderness saying, well, you know, these aren't the reasons first. So the first thing is you got to say briefly, you know, what aren't the reasons. First, we had to listen to racism. That was the reason. Well, it's been proved over and over again it has nothing to do with it. And in fact, there is racism and there is discrimination, but it's for the black kids. They get all the praise. And that's the subject of an essay that I have coming out, but that let's leave that for a minute. The second was money. Oh, there were books out by Jonathan Kozol and others. If only the money with the funding were equal, then you'd just see all the great achievement. Well, that's been proven to be absolutely false. For example, and briefly, look at Washington, D.C., okay, mostly black kids. And they spend the most per pupil in the country, and their achievement is about the worst in the country.
Mm.
It's horrible, and the violence is rife, okay? So it's not that. So let's start to think about some of the things that it is. And again, most of the time, it's really not that. It's pretty easy to prove. Okay, first thing is the family. Okay, the black family in the inner city, it mainly consists of one parent. Okay, is one parent, and very frequently she's had the kid at age 14 or 13 or 15, and it's very hard to be a parent and without much money and to put educational issues first. Okay, not only that, but most of the time she doesn't value education. So here you have the phenomenon that A, the kid, they don't have much money, and B, that they don't value education. Now, that's been proven over and over and over again. Have a PTA meeting at night in the inner city, and you get two people. Okay, mm-hmm. Have a PTA meeting in Plano, Texas, in the suburbs, and you can't get a place to park.
Right.
Okay. So that's one. But another issue I think here most people don't talk about, and that is that the peer group, and that is. You go, again, by comparison, and you see the peer groups in the suburbs, and most of the time they want to learn. You know, that's the thing. Hey, let's study. Let's school is important. Let's value the teachers. And in the inner city, they don't value education very much. And now I know we're going to get some exceptions every now and then. But it's proven, in fact, if you do well, the kids knock you down. So the way you get status as a student in the inner city is by doing badly, by being ignorant. And again, we got to be brief, but I can give you hundreds of examples because I have lived it. So, you know, the obvious question is, well, you know, why should we believe you? Okay, that's a perfectly good question. Okay, well, the first thing is, not only have I been a researcher and a reader of everything that's ever been written on the subject, but I have taught it. I have been in the inner city for 30 years talking to parents and kids. So it's a lot of the people who write on this subject, but they haven't been teachers.
Right.
They haven't been in the inner city more than as a visitor every now and then to a classroom, but that doesn't tell the story.
Yeah.
And it's much, much worse than what you said and what people think. Because everybody tries to hide it.
Right.
Who are the administrators? Well, if they're black, they want to hide it. Because it's so bad, they want to put a good face on it because then people are going to start asking questions and their jobs may be in jeopardy. So everybody makes the statistics better and they try to hide things as much as I can. But it's very bad, and the security is an utter disaster. It's just a violent place. It's a dangerous place. Teachers are getting assaulted all the time. I can give you personal stories. I myself was assaulted.
And so are a lot of the good teachers now? I mean, obviously, I can hear your passion and to stick it out for 30 years, and with the background that you had, where you could certainly have taught Doctor anywhere you wanted to teach with your background and, you know, with Harvard and whatnot, but you wanted to be there, you wanted to stick it out. In 30 years, how do you break through this? I mean, why is it, you know, I went to Ecuador and those people have nothing, but the only thing those single mothers want for their kids is for them to get educated. They just feel like if they just get a good education, boom, they can get out of our ghetto. They can get out of our form of the ghetto here in Ecuador. So how is that we don't have that in the United States?
No. And it's not getting much better. When I tell kids about what's out there and the rat race and why they have to study, they don't believe me. They don't believe me. And they don't want to hear it. Well, they think everything will be okay. You can't get them to go beyond today. In other words, that there is no tomorrow.
Right.
They look at me and, you know, you're crazy, man. I'm always going to be young. I'm always going to have mommy paying the bills. I'm always going to have a place to live. And they don't know that tomorrow comes. They don't know what's out there and how hard it is to compete, and it's getting harder. And they are unwilling to take the steps necessary. They don't think that education is important. They don't value teachers. They don't respect teachers very much in the inner city. And it's so different in the suburbs. It's frightening. It's so different. And again, I firsthand, I've got a kid in the suburbs. I do in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Actually, I have one in Las Vegas who was in the best high school in Las Vegas, so he doesn't have to be in the neighborhood school, which is terrible, frankly.
Wow.
So that's firsthand again.
Mm. Wow. Terrible stuff. I wish it was more encouraging. And in 1 minute, what would you say? What do we need to start doing in this country to change that? What can we do?
There are no easy solutions, but the first thing I would rely on the black folks who've succeeded, like Bill Cosby, for example,
mm-hmm.
people who can be role models and who can try to get the kids to change ever so slightly. I mean, it's not going to be huge at first, but that's one of the ways. And when white people go in there and tell them, they laugh. They don't pay any attention. Don't even bother. It's got to be blacks, and it's got to be educators. I mean, say leaders such as Al Sharpton and Reverend Jackson, instead of people like that, who are not helping them. Like calling it racism and
right.
everything, looking for excuses.
Right, so it's got to be role models. I like that. We're going to end on that note. Dr. Gordon, thanks so much. Pick it up, folks. The Emperor Has No Clothes. Remember, you can catch us on Facebook and Twitter.